Welcome to the Your Dream Business podcast. I'm your host, Therese Heath-Waring, an international best-selling author, award-winning speaker, TEDx speaker, certified coach, and the host of this number one ranked podcast. I am so excited to guide you on the journey of creating a business and life that you not only love, but one that perfectly aligns with you and the season of life that you're in. In each episode, I'll share with you easy, actionable, and insightful strategies to grow your online business. Plus, we'll be diving into some mindset tools and strategies that keep you focused, motivated, and are going to stop you from getting in your own way. So if you're a course creator, membership owner, or coach, you are in the right place. Let's get started. Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of the Your Dream Business podcast. How are you doing this week? So this week, I have a very dear friend on the podcast and a fellow podcaster. He has his own podcast as well, but his on the whole is a little bit more funnier than mine, which I'm a bit gutted about because I think I'm funny, but no, his is definitely funnier than mine. So this week, I am very, very excited to welcome to the podcast the very lovely Dan Knowlton. Dan, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm really pleased. I can't believe, have I never been on your podcast before?
Never. I can't believe it. I don't know how we...
Yeah. No, it's good to be here. No, it's really, really good to be. I don't know how funny our podcast is, though. You've kind of built it up a bit.
Oh, so I was doing my research this morning, right? And I was listening to some of your episodes. Now, I do listen to your podcast, but I have to say, as a podcaster, I don't know about you, but I am a bit rubbish at listening to other people's podcasts. And also, when I do listen to podcasts, I tend to listen to health related podcasts or like I listen to Andrew Huberman, Huberman's Lab. Do you listen to that?
I don't, but I watch his content on TikTok and stuff. Yeah.
Love it. He's so good. So yeah, I'm not very good at listening to like businessy type ones, but yes, so I was listening this morning and there's always a funny story, which generally in our life, there's always funny stories, but you told this freaking hilarious story what I listened to, right? Which I had to, bring up. You were talking about cheese on toast.
Oh, no, I knew you were going to say it.
Brilliant. Please tell my lovely listeners what the hell happened.
I love it like this is a business marketing podcast. This is nothing to do with business or marketing.
We don't care.
So I'll very briefly tell a story. We were talking, we did an episode about the biggest mistakes we made in 2023 and, you know, how everyone shares their highlight reel. And we were like, look, so we talked about business mistakes and stuff. And then I just sort of had to share one of the biggest mistakes I made over the Christmas period, which was I basically like cheese on toast. I've always liked cheese on toast from a kid. And Crystal, my other half, had gone out for the day and I had the kids at home. And I thought, I'm going to make some cheese on toast. So got the cheese out, got the bread out, you know, and saw this new cheese grater on the side. I thought, wicked, we've got a new cheese grater. So I grated all the cheese, cooked the cheese on toast. It was delicious. And then the next day I did the same thing. I was like, that was so good yesterday. I'm going to do it again. And then, to my horror, the next day, Christelle said to me, why is my foot grater in the dishwasher? And I was like, oh, no.
It's the grimmest thing.
And she'd used it. Like, the worst bit is she, like, soaked her feet the night before and stuff and really had a good go on her.
Oh, my God. It's too brilliant. And do you know what, like... Because I have one of those.
Do you have one? I didn't know they were a thing.
Yeah, right.
I didn't know they were a thing.
And Paul and I always joke, like, anybody want any Parmesan?
Yeah, I literally ate foot Parmesan.
Literally disgusted. But yeah, like, I don't. Is it just women who have really awful feet? I think men don't have awful feet.
I don't know. I just don't, yeah. I don't get why you need to grate your feet. I didn't even know that was a thing, but apparently it is.
It is. But what it was doing in the kitchen, I'm not entirely sure.
We've got an open plan space. Yeah, that was my thing. Like, it was like on the side in the open plan kitchen. Okay. So I was just like, oh, it's been put over there, like just on the edge.
That is brilliant. That is brilliant. Were you sick or were you all right?
I was fine. It tasted delicious at the time, but yeah. I also can't believe you've actually done research for this episode. I thought, because we know each other, I thought, she's not going to bother doing anything. You've actually...
I do, right? And it's funny because it's almost worse when I know someone because it's almost the case of like, I'm so relaxed about what, like just chatting, but then actually, is there a reason to us chatting? Can I just share, right? Yeah. Just so people know the research that Dan did in preparation for this interview. I have an Asana form that people have to fill in, right? And it says on the Asana form, can you please give us examples of questions that would be great to ask you? This is my way of like not having to do research. Dan wrote, these are his questions he wants me to ask him. Why are you so charming and incredibly good looking and modern? Please, can I give you £10,000? And why are you such an incredible human being? Those are my questions to ask Dan today. So let's go through them. I needed to do a bit of research, Dan.
Well, I thought it's your podcast. I'm not giving you the questions to ask me. I don't know what you want to ask.
That's helpful. That's really helpful.
You know me anyway. You know me.
We do. So Dan, let's start by you explaining what you do and how you got to do the thing you do.
What do I do? I'm the co-founder of Knowlton, which is a creative video and social media marketing agency that I started with my brother back in 2015. And we work with brands to support them to deliver really creative marketing campaigns, mainly on social media, that deliver a trackable return on investment. And we've worked with lots of well-known brands over the years. We're also, like you said, we've got a podcast called Business Anchors. And we love that.
Just even the name, like, you know.
We wanted to call it Business Wankers, but we knew that it would get demoted in the algorithm. So we called it Business Anchors and put an anchor in front of the A and made it like nautical theme. So it looks like a W. So you can imagine the vibe of the podcast. And anything else I should tell you? Also speak at events. We've spoken at quite a few events together over the years.
Yeah, we have. That's how we met. Except the first time we met, do you remember the first time we met?
I just remember us really getting on, but I can't remember which event it was.
I'm amazed it's not ingrained in your head that.
No, go on. What was it?
So it was at a social day. It was one that was at like
years ago, right?
Yeah. It was like a football ground or a rugby ground or something like that.
Was it Birmingham?
No, I don't think it was. No. We did the Birmingham one. The Birmingham one, and that's where I first met Bizball, which is Ace.
Yeah.
And then there was another one that I think was further down south, because obviously you're based down in Margate.
Yes.
So I think it was further down south, but it wasn't in London. But you were speaking, Andrew and Pete were speaking. It was Victoria Taylor was speaking. It was like the gang. It was the first time I'd ever met any of you.
Yeah.
This pool was there again. So it was like, oh, I know you. We met before. Yeah. But yeah, and it was quite small, but it was a really good day. And I think Lloyd was there as well. So Dan has a brother called Lloyd. And I think Lloyd was there as well. But I mean, I don't want to play to your ego, Dan, but I did, because my stepdaughter was with me at the time because she used to work in the business.
Yeah.
And I did say to her, he's pretty good looking.
Oh, thanks, Teresa.
It's fine. I'll take that.
The only trouble with whenever I see you at an event, we end up just not going to the event and going to like lunch and then just chatting. And then we, like, social media marketing world.
Yeah.
There was all these sessions on that we didn't do any of them. That's the only trouble, isn't it?
But that's the thing. And I think that's the shame about when you're a speaker and like the speaker people go to events, that's the only time you get to catch up. And it's like, and that's a sucky time to catch up because you're all doing something and you've all got to be there for a reason. So it's so lovely to see you, but we don't often. And I always say this, like the group of us should all just organize something where we all hang out.
Yeah. But I like going to events when I'm not speaking and just like to them, then you can actually catch up, can't you? Rather than just, you're in the like speaker zone. And you're almost trying to concentrate and make sure you deliver. And you're I struggle to not just think about delivering a good session until I've done it. And then I can be like, relax after that.
So that's interesting because I don't like going to events if I'm not speaking. Because
really,
I love speaking and I just sit there and it's like I have to sit with my hands underneath me so I don't jump up and get on the stage. Yeah, I really struggle. I really love the speaking side. I get a bit like, oh no, I want to be speaking.
Do you know an event you should come to this year? The best event that I've ever been to, and we're going back again. It's in Ibiza. Did you see that?
Amazing.
It's called Agency Hackers Super Summit. I mean, we spoke last year. We're not speaking this year, but we're going back. We're taking our team and stuff. It's going to be wicked. You should come to that.
Unbelievable.
I keep forgetting we're on a podcast. I'm just trying to catch up with you. But you should come to that event.
People don't mind listening to this stuff. I'm going to write that down. Agency Hackers. I mean, I don't have an agency. Well, I did, but I don't anymore.
But it's a lot of like marketing business people and stuff. It's an amazing event. You should come.
That's awesome. So Dan has this agency now with your brother,
mm-hmm.
which, so that's one of my first questions about,
Because I worked with and supported lots of twos in a business. You are not one of those people that I've worked with or supported with. But how is it having someone who is your brother working with them?
It's brilliant. This is the question that a lot of people ask. And because people relate to it and think, like, I could never work with my brother or my sister. But I absolutely love it. And the reason I love it is because we've learned to really work well together. We've got completely opposite skills. Mm-hmm. And we went on a walk the other day and we're talking about this. Like, we've got to the point now where every week we have this weekly meeting as part of, we kind of use the entrepreneurs operating system to run our business. So we have these weekly meetings where we look at, like, how is everything going, and we keep each other accountable. And when we started doing it at the start of the business, we used to critique each other and take it really personally. Mm-hmm. So he'd be like, Dan, this week numbers aren't looking as good. Like, I saw you did this. Could you? And like, I'd take it all personally and it was just rubbish. Now we know each other so well that we can, like, we critique each other, but we completely take it on board in a positive way. Like, that's such a good suggestion. I'm going to take an action next week. I'm going to schedule that. I'm going to speak to this team member to make sure we do this. And we've, over the years, we've just evolved that relationship. So, and it's also really sad because we spend all our lives working together. We play squash together multiple times in the evenings. Our families hang out at the weekends. Like, you'd think that we should hate each other.
With each other. Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know. Our other halves always take the piss out of us that we, like, oh, come on, you've seen each other all week. Do we have to, like, see them again? And we're like, yeah, we want to hang out.
That's ace, though. That is, like, that's so good. Do you both have the same vision for the business?
Yep.
That's totally awesome.
So we sat down in 2019, I think it was. We sat down and, like, discussed that. Lloyd went to a seminar. This guy called James Sinclair, and he speaks about the importance of having an end point. Whether or not you want an endpoint is, like, knowing what could that endpoint be and then work backwards from there. And that's when we developed our, like, 10-year, 2030 plan together. We were like, what do we want to have? Like, what do we want to get to be within 10 years at 2030? And we both agreed on that and then came up with, like, a comprehensive plan of each year, how we're going to get to that point. Which means we're totally aligned on where we want to get to.
So give me a quick rundown then. Like, where do your skills lie and where do his lie?
So his official job title is, like, our CEO. So he manages our team and the projects and that side of things. He is really good at managing people. I'm dog shit at that. He is very empathetic and caring and kind. I'm not saying I'm not. I'm very commercially driven, and he's very much like people's feelings and things like that, which is lovely. And I'm also like that, but I think, like, if it was just him running the business, he'd end up just being a charity and failing because he'd just give everything away.
Yeah.
If it was just me, I'd probably be too commercially driven and people wouldn't like me. So we come together perfectly and it works really great because we always discuss everything. So he's very good at managing people and his logistics. I'm terrible at logistics. Previous job role I had, I basically had a meltdown because it was all very logistical and my brain doesn't work like that. So he's very good at thinking, we've got all these projects to deliver. We can do that then, we can do this then. So he's very logistical. And I guess on the other side, I feel like I'm a real people person. Mm-hmm. Love, like, having chats like this.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, with people. And my official job title is CMO, Chief Marketing Officer, but I handle all of the sales and marketing. So, and our marketing team as well. So I love sales. I love pitching. I love meeting people, love speaking at events and things like that. Yeah. So I think that's what I'm better at, sales and that kind of stuff.
And you're the, like, I was going to say you're the face, but, like, in one way you are, but Lloyd is as face front, you know, as you are, but you're the one who speaks on stages. You're the one who does podcast interviews. You're the one who, like you said, goes out and does the pitching and things and the training if you have to do, because you and I both worked for a company in Dubai and did training for that company. And, you know, so you would be the one that goes and does that.
Yeah, it's kind of evolved over the years, though. So it started out, I was very much speaking at events and it was just me and Lloyd was behind the scenes. Then Lloyd started being, Lloyd's way more funny than me. Like,
Lloyd,
I'm not funny.
Lloyd is hilarious. Yeah. Like, in the driest, most subtle, unassuming way, he is hilarious.
He's spent the last 30 years knowing how to say, whisper one thing in my ear and I'll be in hysterics. So he gets me, like, in the on the podcast when we're shooting content, he just knows how to get me. So he's definitely the fun one. He started being in more of our content, like our sketch based content, and then we started the podcast together. And but yeah, so it's kind of a combination now, but he doesn't do the speaking and stuff, but yeah, it works well. I think
that's awesome. Okay, so I finally worked out what we're going to talk about as we were talking.
Girl, were you literally planning for this podcast as we're going?
Yeah. I'm just seeing how the mood takes us, Dan. And what I'm going to focus on is you've worked with some really, really good companies. You've done some really cool stuff. In fact, I meant to tell you in my research, because I am a professional, Dan, I was going through your site and I saw a video that was served to me as an ad the other day that you guys have produced.
Really?
And I have to say, I watched a fair chunk of that ad before I moved on. So it was the one for the Whole Foods.
Oh, by Whole Foods Online. Yeah.
So obviously I'm very zen and healthy and amazing. And I only eat organic,
lots of
plants, that sort of thing.
Yeah, just leaves and stuff. Yeah.
You know the score. Yeah, mainly seeds. That's all I eat. But anyway, I do buy organic and I do buy from places like that. So that ad was served to me, which, good marketing, because I am the right customer. And it was a good ad and it caught my attention. And I was like, oh, that's really interesting. And then when I go on your site, I'm like, hang on a minute. So then I thought, did I see it through them? And I was like, no, I didn't. Mm-hmm. Because I remember going, what is this? And having a look at what it was. So yeah, well done. Excellent. But anyway, so yeah, you're working with some big companies. You love pitching. How do you even start the conversation? Hopefully you've got to a point where people are now coming to you and you do create a lot of content around it and you do create some very funny videos which help you to be seen. But how are you getting your clients? What are you doing?
Okay, so I'm going to reveal all of our secrets to you now, Teresa.
Thanks.
So I'll start with more fluffy, like bigger picture stuff, and then I'll get more practical.
Okay.
And like, here are the things we do. So the bigger picture fluffy stuff is, you're right, we do now work with well-known global brands that you would have heard of, but the way we got there is we call them kind of stepping stone clients. So there's two concepts I'll explain to you. There's stepping stone clients and there's milking the top 10%. This is like big picture fluffy stuff. So the stepping stone clients, how we got to, you know, working in our parents' spare room, never had a client, to working with the BBC or Wall, the male grooming brand, or Sunny D, the drink brand, like how we got from there to there. The big picture thing is stepping stone clients. So when we started out in our parents' firm, we started working with very small local businesses you would have never heard of, small hotels, restaurants, and we delivered some good results for them based on how much they were paying. So we weren't generating millions of pounds for them, but based on the value they were getting a good return investment. So we started with those companies and started to build up a portfolio of evidence that we deliver on our promises. And then eventually, once you create enough evidence that you deliver on your promises for small companies, then you can start to punch upwards and talk about that and promote it and attract like the next like caliber of clients. So I'll give you some examples of stepping stone clients. Our first stepping stone client from small local hotels and restaurants was our local council. Mm-hmm. So that was the first, you know, you might think that's not that impressive, but at the time when we won the local council as a customer, that's like the local councillor trusting us to deliver something for them. That's a small notch of credibility on our belt. Yeah. So that was a stepping stone. Then it turned into like our first, and I remember when we got the phone call and the agreement signed for this, it was Eurotunnel. I don't know if you know the underground train system.
Yeah.
So that was the first company that we thought people might have actually like heard of, travel to France stuff. They literally signed the agreement and I remember getting it and I was euphoric. Like, I mean, I felt like I had just taken something and I was on another planet because they called and said, we want to work with you. I immediately called Lloyd. He was in a petrol garage, right? And we both on the phone were jumping up and down.
I love
like jumping up and down going, Eurotunnel want to work with us. Eurotunnel want to work with us. And I was euphoric. Like, bearing in mind, we put all this hard work in.
Yeah.
And it had been a couple of years by then, I think. It had been a couple of years of us working with smaller businesses. We were like, this is going to change our lives. And like that genuinely, we were so excited.
I love it.
And then we worked with them and we did a really cool project where it was a creative thing where it was all about promoting people going on skiing holidays on the Eurotunnel. And we did this concept where we skied down a mountain with a kitchen sink, because it was like, you can take everything in your kitchen sink when you go on Eurotunnel, because you can take your car and you can put stuff in it. And it was, it was like a massive project for us at the time. And that was our first kind of stepping stone client. From there, then we started to work with bigger clients. Who was the next one after that? So the next one after that was probably, I'm trying to think, it might have been Nestle, and then Wall, the male grooming brand, then Sunny D more recently in the BBC. But like, so that's the first thing, stepping stone clients. You start to deliver great work, and then you start to punch upwards and talk about the great work. And those next, then the next concept is milking the top 10% as part of this. So what milking the top 10% is looking at all of the work you deliver and think, by now, who is the most you've ever worked with that people will look at, milk that client in a sense of a marketing perspective. You need to promote that client as much as possible. So if you look at our website now, and it's currently being updated, so don't judge us. But if you look at our website, everything we talk about is the world leading brands that we've worked with.
Yeah.
Everything you'll see is we've worked with Nestle, we've worked with Wall, Sunny Deeps. We're working with tons of other brands you would have never heard of.
Yeah.
That is really our bread and butter. But we constantly milk the top 10% and shout about these. So for the perception of everyone else, we're constantly working with these big global brands. And we are, every month we're working with big global brands, but we're kind of milking the top 10%. They're the two concepts that
I love
are big
that.
Picture.
And like, when I translate that into my business, that's like me getting one person on a podcast and going, who's the next connection to them? And then when I go and pitch, and we've just been talking about the summit, which by the time this comes out, the summit is done. Mm. Like, oh God.
Is it done?
By the time this is coming out in April. The summit's done in March. Like, and no one's even heard about the summit. But obviously, you know, I got Amy and then used Amy, that sounds awful, but used Amy's name.
No.
Do you want to come and speak? So like you said, it's that milking that top 10% of going, these are the quality people I've got. You want to come and do this because I've got these quality people. So yeah, I love both of those things. So tell me, like, you obviously are really confident in what you do and the pitching and that sort of thing. What tips would you give to someone who is like, that terrifies me to death, having to go and pitch?
Okay. So the first, I learned something that from that event in Ibiza that we went to that I'm going to share with you that has completely changed the game with our pitching that will hopefully be valuable for listeners and stuff. But the first thing about people who are scared, you've just got to get over it. I think I did a talk years ago at Atomicon, and one of the things I spoke about was, it was all to do with confidence on video, which kind of applies to this, like confidence of, and it was all about understanding how bad do you want the end result of you doing what you're scared to do. So for example, pitching. So for us, I am so motivated to grow this business and to the point we want to get it to by 2030. I am so motivated to do that. I will do anything, you know, ethically, within reason, but I don't care about, I get scared speaking on stage. I get nervous pitching world-leading brands, you know, but I don't care because I want that end result so bad that I don't care. That's what I have to do. So to overcome that thing, oh, I'm scared. It's like, how bad do you want the thing that you're going to achieve from doing this? Because if you're still too scared, you don't want it bad enough. So you may as well focus on something else. So that's the first thing. Secondly, some tips around pitching. We went to that agency event I spoke about in Ibiza, and we spoke to a lady called Carrie Rose. She runs Rise at Seven. Incredible lady, hugely inspiring, grew this super successful kind of SEO search PR agency. And one of the tips she gave us, we had a little private chat with her, and I asked her for some advice about pitching, because they're winning pitches, you know, pitches coming out of their ears. And she said one thing that stuck with me. She was like, in your pitch, don't start by talking about yourself. You know, the classic, hi, I'm Dan and I run Knowlton and we do this stuff. Us, me.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do that. Start by teaching them something.
Mm.
Teach the people or the brand you're pitching, have a look at what they're currently doing and teach them something that's going to help them, that your expertise, you know, that so that first emotion they're going to feel is, thank you, Teresa. You've taught me something. Yeah. You clearly know your stuff. Mm-hmm. You've looked at what we're doing and you've taught. And I noticed this. We started implementing this like a couple of months ago, and we've won so many pitches. And Lloyd was on a pitch with me. I can't say the brand name or anything, but it was a well-known brand. And he was on this virtual pitch and he said to me, when you started to teach them that thing and speak about their product, the guy, the decision maker's eyes lit up on this virtual call. Cause he was like, you're talking about the thing he gives a shit about.
Yeah.
And then he was like, and obviously when you started talking about what we do, he sort of dulled down a bit and wasn't as interested.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like obvious because it's putting yourself in their shoes.
Mm.
They don't care about you. Yeah. They care about an end result or their brand and stuff. So focus on that versus like, we're this, we're that, we can help you. And that's something that's really helped us.
So there's a couple of things I wanted to say to that. Firstly, the fact that you have your big vision in mind and you are driven to getting that, and therefore whatever it takes, whatever you've got to do, you've just got to get over yourself. I think that is key. And obviously one of the things that I talk about and teach all the time is goal setting and thinking about where we're heading and having that plan. And actually, one of the things I haven't done externally is look at the 5, the 10, the 20 years. We tend to do it a year out.
Mm.
And I think some people think that's absolute BS. And they think that like, it's so great that you set these goals and whatever. But actually, that enables you to go, actually, I'm terrified, but let's just do this anyway. Like, if I want this thing and I want it so freaking bad. And that's the other thing, right? It's not just setting a goal that's like, the world tells me I should earn this, or I should work so many days, or I should be like, you know, doing this thing. It's actually going, what do I want? What passion do we have? What is our dream? Because then you are going to do the big things and you are going to do the scarier things. And then the other thing that you said, which I want to touch on, because I think some people will be listening to this will go, yeah, all right, is the teaching element. Mm-hmm. I know that lots of my audience and lots of people in general have imposter syndrome, okay? They have this whole, what the hell, especially with big brands. Like, and I've done this. I spoke, it wasn't last year, it was the year before, for a company that I do a lot of work with in Greece, and they wanted me to do a presentation on content, right? And ordinarily, that's not what I speak about now.
Yeah.
However, if you want to pay me to come along and do some training, I am going to do it all day long. So obviously, I put together my content presentation. I've got stuff that I did. And then I said to them, could you tell me, do you have an idea of who's in the room? Because obviously I just want to make sure I'm giving some good examples and pitching the right way and, you know, doing those sorts of things in terms of making sure that I give them value. And they went, yeah, sure. So the Greece's number one telecom company are in FedEx, da, da, da. And suddenly I was like, holy crap. Like, I am going to fall flat on my face because all my examples were like small business examples because that's who I speak to. So then I start getting massive imposter syndrome, like, what the hell have I got to teach FedEx? Like, geez, man, they're massive. How? And the truth was I could and you can. But what should someone be thinking about if they're sat there thinking, I've got nothing to teach these people? Like, surely they must know it.
Okay. So I'll share like my weird process with this. Okay.
Awesome.
So my thoughts, right, all this worry, and I totally relate to that. So point number one is, and this sounds really morbid, but we're all going to die. And this is what I literally say to myself in my head, you know, like if you're worrying about, oh, there's someone in the audience who's better than you or whatever, who knows more, they're going to die, you're going to die. None of this matters. It's just marketing and business.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's genuinely like, that's what, and I've learned to say this to myself, none of this matters. Like, what's the worst thing that can happen? Even if you muck it all up, you know, even if your pants fall down and you're suddenly naked on the stage, you know, I don't know
that's not gonna happen. Happened once, so don't do it again.
Yeah, I was arrested after that. But no, but that's the first thing. So stop. Just, doesn't matter. It's only marketing. Yeah. It's only business.
It is.
Second thing is, you've been asked to, like this, your talk, for example, you were asked to deliver that because of your experience and the things you've learned. And you can definitely share lessons that you've learned in your experiences that the world's leading marketers wouldn't know. There's certain things that you've done through your experiences that little nuggets of your stories that you could tell and things that they would still get value from. So that's the next thing. And yeah, I think they're the two key things for me. You're going to die and you're asked there for a reason.
Yeah. So I think you're right. I think if we can think to ourselves, and like I said, it sounds a bit morbid, but you're so right. Like on your deathbed, you're not going to go, I reckon those people didn't think I was an expert in that talk. That I did once.
Who gives a shit to reason?
No one. Like, honestly, it really doesn't matter. Like, we've just got to go out there and try and do it and, you know, do the thing.
Yeah.
I love that. Okay.
So, out of interest, Teresa, can I just ask you, because you do loads of speaking and stuff.
Yeah.
I would be genuinely interested in what's your advice? Like, how do you, because you never look scared or anything when you're speaking and you're like, you know, absolutely killing it. What do you say some weird thing in your head or anything? Or are you just like really good at everything?
No, not really good at everything. So I see, this is where my woo slightly comes in, which I know you love, Dan.
Yeah, go on.
I'm saying that joking. He doesn't. So I ground myself. And when I say ground myself, you were talking about this on the podcast. But listen, when I say
you
ground
stand
myself,
outside in the grass.
No, I don't. Because I have a real hygiene thing. So I often will take my shoes off and put my feet flat on the ground. And this is woo, but it really genuinely helps me. And I imagine...
No judgment here, Teresa. No judgment.
Thanks. I imagine roots going out of my feet into the ground and making me solid like a tree, okay?
Wow.
So that's the first thing I do. Just, and often that can be like... So if I'm sat down waiting to be called upon to the stage, I'll take my shoes off before they start introducing me and then I'll slip back up. Like right beforehand.
That's so interesting.
Then, as I'm just about to get on stage... I slow my breathing down and I relax my breathing, because one of the things I do is in the nerves, because I do have nerves and I'm glad I get nervous because it means I give a damn, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But in my nerves, I talk fast anyway. When I'm nervous, I am like at the speed of freaking light, right? Yeah. So I can talk so fast that when I first get on stage, I'm like... So one of the things I have to do is, rather than like, you know how some people have to like hype themselves up to get on stage? No.
Hype yourself down.
I have to start calming down, because otherwise I get on and I'm too excitable.
Yeah.
I think for me, one of my things is no one wants to see you fail.
Yeah,
right?
Sure.
No one, like, unless they're absolute sadist, horrible person, no one's like, ooh, I hope she falls over or I hope she melts down on stage. No one wants that. Because it's the most uncomfortable thing in the world, like to watch someone on stage and they're like...
Yeah, that's true. It is awkward, horrible. Isn't it? I've experienced that before when people have sort of flopped and it's like, oh, no, this isn't nice for anyone.
Please don't. Yeah, like, so no one wants that to happen. So I think, and the other thing, so I think one, I keep that in mind that like people are willing you to be good, but also I don't try and be someone I'm not. And you're really good at that too. Like you are so relaxed and you're so chilled and you're so like, you're funny and you're easygoing and whatever. And I think if you tried to walk on stage and be like, this,
I am better than you.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, you say some really smart stuff, Dan. It's not like you're not, you couldn't be a thought leader, but if you tried to be the wanky thought leader, then you'd look like an absolute idiot. Right.
Yeah, I think
just embracing who we are and just going, some people are going to love us. Some people are going to think we're knobs. And either way, that's fine.
We're all going to die. Doesn't matter.
Yeah. The end. Thank you, Dan. Bye. But honestly, it's such a good point. It's such a good point.
I like that, though, that grounded thing. I know we took the piss out of grounding and stuff on our podcast, but I think I actually do. I don't know if you class this as woo-woo, but I do visualization of when I'm practice speaking. I visualize that there's thousands of people there and then it helps my mind not go into panic mode, like, shit, there's thousands of people looking at me.
Yeah.
It's like, I've already imagined what that's like and put... So yeah, I do.
Yeah.
That's really interesting, Teresa.
And the visualization stuff, I think, is really important in terms of like seeing it be a success, seeing your... And again, like, my way of thinking about anything that's a bit woo is, if it helps me, I couldn't give a hoot.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, believe in it, don't believe in it. Love it, don't love it. Like, I'm not hurting anybody. I'm not making the whole audience round with me. Like, I'm just doing my quiet little thing that no one would probably even know I'm doing.
Yeah.
And that helps me get on stage and perform and be in a different way. But yeah, I think that whole, I'm still grateful. Like, I'm grateful for the nerves rather than thinking, just calm down, just be, you know.
Yes, like, yes.
And I just go, okay, yeah, I'm nervous, but it's because I'm really excited and it's going to be fun. I don't know about you, but within the first minute or two, I am like, I'll just stay up here all day. Like,
when you get into it and it's going well and you're like, I've prepped for this, and then you get in the flow, you just be like, I do agree with that, definitely.
So now we're down the speaking thing, I have another question to ask you on that. When you speak, and I find this fascinating whether people do this or not, do you script what you're going to say and do you say it verbatim?
So I'll tell you exactly what I do. In preparation, I write a whole script of how I'd want to say everything perfectly.
Right.
So if I was to deliver this and it was, you know, God tier, it would, I'd be saying it like this, and it's written in my, the way I speak, not like, I used to do it like a book, and I just sounded like a right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I write it how I speak and how I'd want to say it. Then I read it and go through practice. And then I start practicing without it. And I end up, don't deliver it word for word, but I say it in a more natural way.
Okay.
And that's how I do it. So I don't think, oh no, what's the word that I was going to say now? I think like, what was I going to be talking about now? Because I've practiced so much. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So that's what blows my mind, right? I remember having a conversation with Mike from the Membership Geeks.
Mm.
And he said, he writes a script. He then reads the script. He then records himself. He then plays the script through his headphones every night. Wow. And he does it verbatim, right?
What?
I can't even read a bio on the podcast without going... Blah, 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 blah.
No, I'm the same.
I am awful. So when I speak, I put together my presentation and I'm putting it together as I'm making my slides. So I'm like, this would be good to talk about this thing here, this thing
but
here.
But you don't write anything.
Nothing.
Oh, really? That's interesting. Not even bullet points?
Nope. If I need bullet points, they're on the slide.
Oh, okay. Got you.
You've seen me talk. Like, my slides have very little on them.
You come across like, I think that's the perfect way to do it, though. It comes across like you're just talking to me like you are now, but like, more structured, obviously, like more, you know.
And for me, my worry is if I try to make it too structured and if I try to go, we want to talk about these points in this way.
Oh, God, stressful.
I would fall at the first hurdle and then I would screw up the rest of my talk. Like, yeah. I would be like, oh, no, I didn't say that as I wanted to. And then I've thrown myself. Mm. And even, I don't know if you've had this, but even when I've been on stage and I'm in the flow and I've noticed I'm in the flow, and because I've noticed, I've knocked myself out of the flow.
Yeah. I've done that.
Do you know what?
I don't know if you've ever had it. One time I was speaking and I had like a certain segue that segued to the next slide and it didn't make sense if I didn't do the segue.
Mm-hmm.
And my mind just went blank. Like an empty head of like literally no idea what I'm talking about, no idea what to say right now. And I just stared at the slide like in my mind, like, fuck, what the hell am I doing? And I just sort of said, oh, marketing and stuff. Honestly. And but then like after about 30 seconds, I sort of thought, I got back in it like, yeah. And that was actually the start of last year, and it proper made me nervous about speaking.
Yeah, it's so funny.
And I had about 5 speaking things last year after that, and I really overprepared, and I felt like it went incredibly well. Got great feedback. But the start of the year, because I was just like, yeah, I hadn't spoken for a while. I was like, yeah, I'll be fine. Didn't prep enough.
Oh man.
And my mind went blank, and it was it's the worst feeling ever.
That is brilliant. Like, marketing and stuff.
No, but you know, have you never had your mind go completely blank?
Yeah.
Like literally nothing in your head.
What I do now, and I think this has got to come from confidence, is I go, oh, my mind went completely blank then. Where was I? And I literally tell them that that's what's just happened.
Yeah. But what if you do that? And after you say, where was I? You don't remember anything.
Then that's a problem.
Is that worse? Is that worse or better? Sorry, completely blank. Where was I? Oh, still blank. Still blank, guys.
Just give me a minute.
You have no idea what I'm going on about? Yeah. Oh,
But I just think, like, there are people who are way bigger, way more important than us that are shocking at, like, speaking. Like, just take the American presidents. No offense to people who are American.
Yeah.
Take UK prime ministers. Like, the stuff that they've done and said, I just think, well, it can't be worse than that. So,
but also, there's a lot more pressure if they say the wrong thing. If we say the wrong thing, no, like I said, no one cares about it. It's only marketing.
Yeah.
There's much more important things in the world.
And that's the thing. And I think sometimes when you are a speaker and when we go to these events where, and like some of the speakers are treated like celebrities, and I have to say to myself, not me, by the way, but like, I'm not treated like a celebrity.
Not on the red carpet, sorry.
No, which is a shame. I'd like it. But like, you know, I have to say to myself, they literally could walk out there and no one knows who they are. Like nobody, especially at social media marketing world, at the big conferences, like people are treated like celebrities. Like, oh my God, it's like, they're not Beyonce, are they?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and again, if they say something, the front pages of the papers are not going to be printed it. It's fine.
Exactly. We're like, this is what Lloyd and I say. So this is quite funny. Our team really take the piss out of us. We've got recognized a couple of times, like in random places, Lloyd and I, at like the zoo, someone's like, just shouts like a reference to the podcast or something. Oi, Lloyd, business anchors. And
brilliant.
And I'll tell you what, Lloyd really takes a piss out of this story. Bear in mind, this happens like very rarely. So it's not Lloyd loves this story. So I was driving home from work one day and it was like a thin road and I was driving down and it looked like there was traffic ahead and I thought something stopped there. So a car's driving past me, winds the window down. I thought, oh, they're gonna tell me, the classic, like, turn around, there's a thing down there. Wind the window down. I went, you're right. And they went, are you Dan Nelson? And then, no. This is why it's cringe and funny. I went, what? They went, are you Dan Nelson from the Business Angels podcast? I went, yeah. They went, oh, listen, I love it. I was like, oh, thanks. Is anything going on down there? They're like, no, go on. I promise you. I don't know, it's cringe and funny talking about it because it never happens. But I told Lloyd that story and he just, like, our team will take the piss. Like, we always like, always get recognized in the,
It's brilliant. I love that.
It's funny because, like, to a very small, compared to like other people, to a very small niche audience, we're fairly well known to small niche audience. So it's like when that niche audience sees you, it's like
exciting.
But it's a very small niche audience. So
that
it's funny.
Brilliant. I love it. I love it. Yeah. Tan, right, before we finished, because I've had too much fun and it's brilliant. Yeah. I want to ask you a couple of questions. These are purely, this is nothing for the podcast. This is just me being really nosy.
Yeah, be nosy.
So obviously one of the things that you guys do are really funny videos and you have done some freaking hilarious ones. And you did one with Steve Bartlett in. And if you haven't seen it, we'll link up to it in the show notes. And I have to say, I'm going public with this. I'm not a big fan of Steve Bartlett. Never really have been. We have both spoke at an event where he spoke. I'm sure we were both speaking at it. At Social Day many years ago, he was speaking and I was speaking. And I'm sure you must have been speaking. And I just was never really a big fan. Like, I don't hate the guy. I just don't like him particularly. So, of course, when I saw that, I just thought it was brilliant. Has he seen it? Have you had any fallout from that? Like, take it down?
No. So I think we've posted it a few times. I think we made a video before that where it wasn't so overtly taking the piss out of him. It was like when your boss can't get out of podcasting mode. And it was taking the piss out of like people that did podcasts. And it was like a team meeting set up. Like, we got Dave here today. Dave's going to tell us what's going on in this meeting. And it was like interviewing, saying references from the Diary of a CEO podcast. And there was a sponsor on there called Chomper's Dog Treats. And it was like, we only ever have, relevant sponsors on this podcast. Try Chomper's Dog Treats.
Yeah.
And then Lloyd was said to be a dog and stuff. Anyway. And he commented laughing faces on that because it wasn't overtly looking like the Diary of a CEO podcast, but it was clearly poking fun at the references and stuff. So he commented laughing faces on that. But then since then, the other ones, he hasn't commented on or anything and people have tagged him and stuff. But I'm pretty sure he would have seen something. But I guess, maybe he's like, oh, these guys again sort of thing. Because we did poke fun at some of the things he does, but it's all friendly banter.
It wasn't, it didn't come across like you're saying he's an idiot at all. It was very much like, well, it's just funny, like, because he really does have this like voice of, and I started watching Dragon's Den again, which I avoided for a bit because I don't like him.
I don't mind him.
No, honestly, I don't know what it is. Do you know what? I was having a conversation with someone the other day who posted something about his. He recently did a podcast and he basically used the clickbait line that obesity causes autism, which is just horrific, right?
Right.
It's the most clickbaity thing ever. And apparently, I obviously didn't listen to it because I listened to the guy, but apparently that's not even what the scientist said. And
it was just a clickbaity thing, right?
And it was just crap. He should never have done that. Because as if there's not enough stigmatism around parents of children who have autism, and now, you're fat, so you're to blame. Like,
right. Really? Yeah. Like, how is that going to be positive in any way?
Never, right? So I'm having a conversation with this person who put it up, and I said, I've never been a fan. And I said, he strikes me as one of those guys who says nothing, right? And I've had someone on the podcast, I won't be saying who it was.
Yeah.
I've had someone on the podcast.
What do you mean someone who says nothing?
Right. So basically.
Oh, like says fluffy things that don't mean anything.
Everything. But when you're like, so what's the practical thing that I can do? Or sorry, what are you actually telling me to do? They say nothing, right? So it's like they're just saying a ton of Instagram quotes over and over, right?
Yeah.
And so I had this guy on the podcast who I really enjoyed the conversation. I sent the podcast to the
show. Can you tell me who it was afterwards?
I'll tell you who it was afterwards.
Okay, go.
But like sent it off to who does the show notes. And she did the show notes and she was like, that was the hardest one I've ever done. And she was like, he said nothing. She was, and because she has to listen to it in a very different way, i.e. what are the three key points I'm bringing out here? What are the takeaways? What is like the, yes, that's awesome.
Right, you're the actionable.
Yeah. Nothing that he could say. But then when the podcast went live, everybody loved it, right? And it's like, how fascinating is that? Because it was very motivating and very like, yeah, hey, lifted me up. But like, actually, it didn't tell you to do anything.
Yeah.
And it was just a bit, it was like Instagram quotes. And I think that's what Stephen's like.
I think there's two, but I'll to counter that, I think I agree with the fluffy thing. I think there's sometimes I like the super practical stuff, but I listen to the My First Million podcast. That's like my favorite podcast ever. And two like American guys, a lot of what they talk about isn't like practical step-by-step, here's how we do this, but they talk about really successful businesses and break down why they were successful. And I find that super inspiring.
But
they do also share practical takeaways and stuff. So maybe.
And you do need that inspiring, the story, the, you know, but someone sent me an article ages ago, like a couple of years back, of someone who basically had said Stephen Bartlett's also had rubbish. And like, he basically, this woman had said, like, you know, when he says these facts, there's nothing in them. And so it was just really interesting. But yeah, I was wondering whether he'd seen it, whether he'd been like,
yeah, no,
so-and-so's, send you a cease and desist.
No, like, none of that. No, I haven't received any of that yet, fortunately. Good. But I think we're going to probably hold off of doing any more Stephen Bartlett content for a while because we've sort of hammered it a bit.
Yeah, now, so. I mean, it's good content. It's like I said, I'll link up to it. It's very, very funny. Dan, you, as always, have been a pleasure. I love hanging out with you. And we
are we on a podcast? I forgot we're on a podcast.
Yeah, we were. Yeah, we were doing a podcast.
Oh, sorry, right.
I think we had good stuff, like really good stuff for people to take away. You are very smart, Dan, even if you don't look it. No, I'm just kidding. Dan.
You cow.
I am joking. You know, I love you. You know, I love you. But honestly, you are. You guys are super, super smart. You've been so successful. I know you're going to continue to do amazing, brilliant things. And I love watching it. I love seeing what you guys do. You are the nicest guys, like genuinely lovely.
Thank you.
So I honestly, I'm so excited to see every time you work with someone amazing and do cool stuff. And like I said, the stuff that you do is really funny. Someone is obviously very creative in your world to come up with all these ideas because they are really cool. But Dan, where can people come and find you and follow you and see more of you?
Probably the best place is LinkedIn. I post a lot of content there. Just search my name, Dan Knowlton, on LinkedIn. We're all on other platforms and stuff. And our website as well, knowltonmarketing.co.uk, if you want to see any of our work and things like that.
Amazing. Dan, it's been a pleasure to have you on the podcast.
Thank you.
So that was the amazing Dan Knowlton. Do go check them out. Do go see their content. It's really funny. It's really creative and different. And they're really kind of paving the way for that. So please do go check them out. I will be back next week with another interview. Until then, have a wonderful week. Thank you so much for listening to Your Dream Business Podcast. And if you loved this episode, then please feel free to go and share it on your social media or head over to iTunes and give me a review. I would be so very grateful.